how it lights my path, how it guides my way.
Thank you. Here we go, Bossim.
So I'm going to be reading John chapter 1, verse 35 to 51. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples and looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas." The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses is in the law, and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called him, you are under the fig tree. I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Dear Lord, I pray for water. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will flow through him as he provides the message that you've laid on his heart. And I pray that it will bless us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. So good afternoon, everyone. We've been thinking about all these different symbols and meanings in these images around our tables, and I found it really helpful and really interesting. So here is a symbol that some of us had at our tables. It's a ladder. And those of you who perhaps decorated a ladder, who thought a little bit about what the ladder means, maybe you could shout out, maybe say something about, what's a ladder good for? How is it helpful? What does it do? Very good. Any others? Just top of your head things. What are they helpful for? Maybe you've used a ladder recently. Cleaning. Absolutely. Reaching the top shelf. Yes. Any other good, very practical reasons for using a ladder? Say again. Decorating. Definitely. Please excuse this paint-splattered ladder. It's a ladder that I always use for decorating and painting on and things like that, putting up paintings. Anything else? Pruning. Thank you. Very good. Yes. Changing light bulbs. Very nice. Rescuing pets. Like cats and things. Yes. Yeah, very good. Excellent. Getting things out of the loft, absolutely. We all need a good loft ladder if we have a loft. Very good. Right, so ladders are great for doing something that you can't do while you're standing on the ground. They take you to another level, don't they? They take you to another. You have another perception of the world when you're up on a ladder. You have another perception of your room when you're up on a ladder, don't you? You suddenly things have changed a little bit. You've moved up in the world, quite literally. So today we've got a ladder, and today, and basically this ladder, as we've seen from the passage, is Jesus. And I do apologize that Jesus is so paint splattered. I'm sure as a ladder in an image, he would be glowing and gold. But we've also got a little person, and I was thinking of using a young child, but I didn't think they'd be okay on the top of the ladder, and their parents probably wouldn't be very happy either. So we've got a little Spider-Man in place of a little child. So could Ethan put the little Spider-Man on the bottom rung? Yes, right there. Perfect. Thank you. Right. Now, we're going to, in a way, start at the very end of this passage. And if you've got it at your table, you'll see all the red letters in that Jesus spoke, where he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." When he says the Son of Man, he's describing himself. He is that ladder. And as Debbie mentioned earlier, this is a reference to Genesis 28, where Jacob had a dream of angels ascending and descending a ladder that reached all the way to heaven. And that ladder was a connection from heaven to earth, connecting the spiritual realm of God to the realm of us here on earth. It was quite literally that connection between God's heavenly dimension and our dimension. And instead of that dream being a promise of prosperity and, you know, that dream was a message to Jacob of prosperity and heritage and a place of home. It was a promise to Jacob, that dream. And instead of it being that kind of a promise, in our passage, Jesus is going to make us the place where heaven and earth meet. Through him, the Jews of that time understood the significance of this symbol. So let's go back to the beginning of our passage, where John looked at Jesus. This is John the Baptizer, looked at Jesus passing by, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And just from that, two of John's disciples follow Jesus. I mean, I think that must have been one of the easiest conversions ever, right? He just said, "Behold the Lamb of God," and they followed him. And that's all that it took for two disciples to be added to Jesus. And Jesus, nevertheless, confronts the two of them. And this is the first thing that Jesus says in the book of John. And you'll see it in the red letters. Ethan, could you put the thing that Jesus said onto Spider-Man? And you can take him. He's going to see, Spider-Man's really good at climbing. That's why we're choosing Spider-Man, right? He's slung a web and he's climbed up the next rung of the ladder. Yes. Jesus says, "What are you seeking? What are you seeking?" He challenges them, you know. Jesus, like Debbie said earlier, Jesus wants to know from us the contents of our heart. He wants to know why are we doing what we're doing. He wants us to be open and honest with him. And he says to them, "What are you seeking? Are they just curious? Are they just seeking wisdom? Are they seeking a bit of Jesus' fame to rub off on them? What is it that they are after?" And doesn't that question echo down from Jesus' generation all the way down to us? Jesus is asking us, "What are you seeking? What are we living for?" You know, some of us are seeking romance. Some of us are just seeking peace. Some of us are seeking money. And it just made me think suddenly of an entertainment theme park where you're looking at that big map, you know, as you enter Disneyland or something, or Legoland, you see that big map and it says, "You are here." You know, which ride are you going to choose next? Which ride are you going to choose? Where are you on the map? Which ride do you want to go on? John's two disciples, probably, you know, slightly scared by that confrontational question, reply with a mundane question of their own. a very practical question. They say to him, "Where are you staying?" And this is where Spider-Man slings a web and he goes on to the next level. And this is the next question on the next statement of Jesus on the rung. "Come and you will see," he says to them. "Come and you will see." We don't get told what they then go on to see. The passage doesn't tell us what the disciples found. I sort of think to myself, maybe Jesus was staying in a flat with a few of his disciples that was a bit messy. Maybe he was staying at his grandma's house. We don't know. But they simply had to come. And this is another truth that echoes all the way down to our generation. Come and you will see. True knowledge and experience of Jesus can't be found at a distance. We've got to follow. We've got to follow closely to Jesus. There's no way we can really understand the Christian journey unless we take that step and follow. We can't know for sure if we're just watching from a distance. And then thirdly, Spider-Man slings a web. He goes up onto the next rung. And in verse 42, we read that Jesus gives us a new name. Andrew's brother, Simon Peter, is renamed Cephas, or Rock, by Jesus. And, you know, we need to ask ourselves as well, what is it that defines us? What names us? What forms our identity? One of the sad things I think about our Western culture, our Western society, is that we live in a society that tries to construct our identity. Some of you have heard me mention a friend before in the past, perhaps, a friend called Haider, who is from Iraq, from Baghdad. And he can name his family tree all the way back for about 500 years. And somewhere in documentation, he can trace his ancestry all the way back to Abraham. Isn't that an incredible sense of identity, you know, to have that kind of background to your own family? And in the West, our family structure, sadly, is much smaller or much more collapsed. So we have to build our identity through other things. You know, some of us build our identity on our social media. Social media constantly compares and critiques, though, and it leaves most children unhappy. I heard about a study where children who spend 10 hours a week on social media are much unhappier than children who don't spend any time on social media, because there's this constant critiquing. And then again, many of us are only defined, or we define ourselves through our achievements and our failures. We define ourselves because of the job we lost, because of the marriage that failed, because of our addiction, or because of where we're from. Defined by the way we weren't loved as a child, even. Or, you know, we think we aren't good enough unless we've got a DR in front of our name. Or we've got a REV in front of our name, Reverend. Having a viral fame on social media, or getting a certain salary, or driving a certain car. Jesus wants to give us a new identity and hope. And like Peter, he says to Peter, "You will be called Cephas, the Rock." He gives him a new identity. Jesus wants to give us all a new name too. And how about this passage in Isaiah 62? And I invite you perhaps even close your eyes and receive this passage for yourself. I'm just going to read it. It's four verses, I think. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her. Think of ourselves as the bride of Christ. And your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Neither our past nor our worldly achievements or lack of them will define us when we follow Jesus. But he gives us a wonderful new identity. And then the final rung on this ladder in this particular passage, you know, there's so many things that can be gleaned from this passage, but these are just some things, is the fourth one. Follow me, you can trust me. Follow me, you can trust me. In Bethsaida, Jesus meets this man, Philip, and he simply says to him, follow me. It's remarkable that Philip simply follows Jesus. Again, it's like those first two, like, you know. Jesus must have known that he was ready because he simply follows him. And but that following of Jesus is a bit like a footnote. It's a bit like just a preamble to what happens next. What happens next is that Philip immediately invites his friend Nathanael to meet Jesus. And that verse 44 is the second time that in this passage that we see a person inviting somebody else to come and meet the Messiah. Earlier on, Andrew had invited his brother Peter. So Jesus wants us to invite others onto this ladder. He wants to change all our perceptions. He's saying, come up with me. Come up with me and experience my life. And then, of course, Nathanael, he was full of doubt about Jesus, saying in verse 46, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth had a bad reputation. It had a bad rap. It had, historically, there are all kinds of interesting things, but it was a bit of a joke. It was a mean place. Apparently, there were a lot of Gentiles living there in ratio to Jews. A bit like Penge, a mean place. But filled with knowledge from the Holy Spirit, Jesus says to Nathanael, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And just this statement, a demonstration of miraculous knowledge inspired by the Holy Spirit. Nathanael is then convinced that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Israel. And we can follow Jesus wholeheartedly. We can trust him fully. He knew us intimately from when we were born and before we even decided to follow him. So let's just summarize, let's reevaluate our lives. Where are we on this ladder that connects heaven to earth? What are we seeking? Are we on the ladder of Jesus, or are we on another ride? What are we seeking? Secondly, come, you will see. It's this one, isn't it? Come, you will see. We're invited to walk closely with him. We can't know him from a distance. We are invited to walk closely. Thirdly, you shall be called by a new name. Your past, your achievements, or lack of them, they won't define you anymore. And then finally, follow me. You can trust me. I know you intimately. Amen. Why don't we pray? Lord, we thank you that you've given us these powerful images, these powerful symbols, Lord. And Father, whether we have been a Christian for 5 minutes or 50 years, Lord, whether we think that we're on the ladder or not, I pray, Lord, help us to evaluate our lives. Help us, Lord, to see where we are, Lord, on this ladder. And Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit, Lord, lead us on to a new level with you. Take us up with you, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let your living word abide in me so richly as I abide in you. Let your living